So the basic principle that's always looked at is that the Vedic paradigm is one of the options. May or may not be considered an option or alternative. It is a view. There are so many views, it is one of the views. But one has to consider in that approach that the view, there is what people who actually are not, or how you say, how much weight would you give the opinion to the person who establishes, creates the universe, maintains the universe, destroys the universe, and his position is therefore what your, that means whatever rules, laws he sets. In other words, what we call the laws of nature. That by following them, you get good results, and by not following them, you don't get good results. As opposed to others who simply have an opinion how they think it should work, but actually, despite their opinion, it doesn't work the way they say. Would we give any more weight to the person who made the place and said this is how it works and has the power to control it and make sure it works that way, or those who have feelings about what they sentimentally think it should be? Does that make that sense? So in other words, the Vedic paradigm is not an opinion. It is the opinion. It's God's opinion. Now then, how you take that and apply it, then he's given so many varieties of ways in which you can take it more seriously and develop love of God, or not, and just try to enjoy the facilities of this world, depending upon what modes of nature you're under. Does that make sense? You have to remember is that we look at it, okay, we're here in London, we've heard of around the world, and how people think. But now you just move to the next Varsha over, right? The other, I think there's nine Varshas here. So the other eight Varshas, they're all, as we see from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, they're all God conscious. They all know who they are, right? The lower, heavenly planets, okay, of course, they're demons, but they all follow Vedic culture. So there's no question of not following the Vedic paradigm. See, the big demons are not so stupid that they would try to use modern culture to enjoy themselves. They're going to use Vedic culture because that's the only one that gives the facility for sustainable enjoyment. Right? The modern doesn't have sustainable enjoyment. Right? You don't have the problem in the Vedic that you're going to wake up the next morning and ask your friend, "Did we have fun?" Because you were so drunk you don't know. You understand? And then the heavenly planets, there's 33 million demigods that are managing the place, and everybody else is there because they've done pious activities by following the Vedic culture. So now you tell me, what is the opinion? Does that make sense? We deal with it as just, well, this is one way to do it. No, it's the only way to do it. Then there's so many opinions on how you could do it that don't actually work. Otherwise, why is it every 5, 10 years they have to revise them? Right? I always remember as a kid in all the science books, they would say, "Before we thought, now we know." Right? And it's the same thing. Every 10 years, they say that again. So whatever they're teaching you now is, now we know this is, after 10 years, this is, well, we used to think like this. Now we know that that's wrong, but this is now right. So you're never dealing with truth. Right? The modern presents itself that it's all about truth and transparency. It's not about that. Why truth and transparency? Why do we want that? If I know what's going on and I can see what's going on, I feel secure. And if I feel that there's any doubt about this, I don't feel secure. So it's not about truth. It's about my own personal security. No one should fool themselves. Because here we're dealing with facts. When people say truth, they simply mean facts that I want to know. They're not talking about truth, meaning God. This is the difference. So the modern paradigm is simply, a very politically correct economic presentation on how I can get the maximum out of whatever's going on in the world. Factually, that's bottom line. It's not really about upliftment. It's not really about knowledge. They don't even get to the platform of Dharma. So they don't even know the nature of something. So if you don't know the nature of something, how can you say you actually know the truth? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, so now from Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 40. Okay. Translation. The Yamadutas replied, "That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes Dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj." Purport. The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they had heard from authority, Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gadap sapanta. So one should follow the Mahajana, the authorized person. Right? We have to remember, Yamadutas, how do you become a Yamaduta? Right? You know, just if you ever happen to be sitting around just thinking, wow, well, how do you become a Yamaduta? You know, maybe I should apply for that one, right? They seem to have a pretty stable job, good association, right? You know, so, you know, quite stable. Yamadutas are people who performed enough piety to get themselves to Pitri Loka. Right, which is generally anybody who's pious goes there. You have to really do big stuff to get into like Indra's place and like that. These big yajnas and that. But if you just do your duties properly, do everything what you're supposed to do really nicely, you know, according to Shastra, then you go to Pitri Loka. So that means the only ones on Pitri Loka are pious people. Or, you know, whoever's the most pious people are there. Right? And so their association naturally then is Yamaraj, who is the most pious. Right? He knows piety. You know, he is the authority on piety. So now they've gotten themselves there by their activities. But the problem is family members after them don't have that piety. And then from not having that piety, they're not doing the pinda. And from not doing the pinda, then they don't eat. Right? Because the point is you do the pinda once a year, then that gives the food and everything, all the supplies that required for a year. Right? So if you don't do that, it means we're talking about the materialists here. Devotees don't have to worry about it because you're worshiping Krishna is taken care of. But for the materialists, the pious materialists, then they have to perform that. And so you're performing it for your father, you know, for your grandfather, and for the great three generations, right? So when you do that, then they're maintained. If you don't do that, then they kind of get, you know, hungry and get a little. If somebody's neglected, they start to get a little strange, okay? And so when they become really strange, then Yamaraj is kind and then gives them a job as a Yamaduta. And then as Yamadutas, they get a cut of others', pinda, like that. And they work for Yamaraj by going and collecting the sinful people. Right? Now you look at this. These are very pious people that now are having trouble in their place because of impiety. Right? Does that make sense? Their family members are not pious, therefore they're not being taken care of. Does that make sense? You know, it'd be like being in an old age home and no one's paying the bills, you know? It gets a little weird after a while. You know? So Therefore, they're very enthusiastic to catch those who are impious. So that's why with such great happiness and great enthusiasm, they go out with their dogs and catch people. Does that make sense? But if someone's pious, then they're very respectful, deal very nicely. So when the Yamadutas escort someone who's pious to Yamaraja's realm, they do it very pleasantly because they respect piety. But someone who's not pious, they're not nice. You just don't. If you're impious, you don't want to meet them. But the problem is you're going to meet them. So it's not like you have an option. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why they know religion. They know it very well. And so they follow authority, they speak according, they don't make up their own religion. But the question that has come up here is, religion's not enough. They don't know the ultimate religion, which means God consciousness. They only know the piety of this world. Right? So they're authorities in that way, but in God consciousness they're not. So here the Bhagavatam is giving that connection where now they've come in contact with actual piety, actual truth, right? And actual transparency, meaning the sampradaya. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraja, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard. The members of modern civilization manufacture defective religious principles through speculative concoction. Right? Because speculative means I'm using my intelligence, means the mind is using the intelligence, to try to work out a new plan for what didn't work. Right? That's what speculation is. Speculation is I've done something. It didn't work. It did not make me happy. So I speculate on what other options, what else could I have done? What really went wrong? Right? But because modern means it's not based on the Veda. Right? So modern doesn't mean specifically what's going on now. Modern means not what's not based on the Veda. So if the present contemporary environment is modern, it fits. You understand? So this term always applies. There's always been modern. There's like we quote about Charvak. He was modern because he wasn't based on the Veda. Buddhism, that's modern. It's not based on the Veda. Jainism, that's modern. It's not based on the Veda. Right? So the Vedic concept, modern, means what only functions now because it doesn't have any basis in the eternal, so tomorrow it will be different. Right? Yesterday it was different, today it's different, tomorrow it'll be different again. So it's always changing. That's why it's always fun when they use the term sustainability and all these guys. It sounds great, but there's no such thing. Sustainable is just you follow God's laws, right? It's always worked before. They grew their potatoes for thousands of years without any modern scientific, you know, involvement. And, you know, it was going on. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is not Dharma, right? Meaning religion or nature. They do not know what Dharma is and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Dharma. Dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from the Srimad Bhagavat Dharma. Because right? You're taking the nature of something. You have a nature. And you can't change that nature. There's always the idea will change. Man will improve nature. He'll change this, change that. But nothing changes. People still have the same needs. They still go about it in the same ways. So dharma means what in that entity and its interaction with others in the environment, what works. And adharma is not using that, so it doesn't work. So the problem is when you're dealing in an adharmic society, they're saying, oh, all that's old-fashioned. What we're saying is, oh, turning the on button on, that's so yesterday. You know, everybody does that. We're going to do something new. We're just going to, you know, bang it on the top with our fist and turn it on. And okay, that didn't work. So then by speculation, we say, okay, you know, we banged on the top. What is banging on the top do? That vibrates, so we didn't vibrate it enough. So we'll pick it up and shake it. You know, so now that's the new thing. You know, shaking it is where it's at, you know, like that. Someone says, well, what about pushing the button? Oh, no, get out of here. That's so old-fashioned. Who is this guy? You know, so now we shake it, and then it didn't work. Okay, then we speculate again. Okay, we shook it, but it wasn't enough shaking. So therefore, maybe we're shaking with two hands. Okay, now we shake it with two hands. And so maybe it works or maybe not. Maybe by shaking it, you know, the button does move, and then it turns, see, yeah, hey, you know, and we're on top of it here. But then sometimes shaking it doesn't turn it on. So they do a serious, you know, scientific investigation and find out that this button is what you have to push. And now it's the whole thing. It's the modern fashion, the thing. Everybody pushes the button. Hey, you're up with it. You're pushing the button. What, you're still shaking it? Oh, man. You understand? So just like, think about it. Before World War II, there was no such thing as inorganic. It didn't exist. So that means everything, everybody on the whole planet, no matter what strata they were in, what country, they all ate organic. But did anybody care? No. Now it's the fashion. Now, hey, you're not eating organic. Hey, you know, like this. Does that make sense? So this is mental speculation. So now that man has worked it out himself, that eating organic is the real way, now it's okay. But that God made the law like that, that you should be eating organic, hey, that doesn't matter. Why? Because that means then I have to base it on Dharma, God's right, and I got to follow that. While this other one is, no, I speculate whatever I come up with, then hey, that's the go. That makes sense? So this is what we're talking about here. So Bhagavatam kicks out all that other kind, that style of religion, or so-called religion, cheating religion. Just where people speculate on how it should be, and only because we speculated on it. You understand? Devotees are eating organic now because it's the fashion. Devotees were eating organic before because that's what they did as hippies. In between, they didn't care about organic because they were neither hippies nor, you know, up-to-date New Agers. You understand? So we have to be very careful to not be distracted by whatever's going on. People say, no, but organic is good. Why is it good? Why is organic good? Why should we eat organic? Right? Oh, it's good for the health. It's good for this. It's good for that. It's natural. You know, it doesn't disturb the environment. It's ecologically sustainable. Right? We can go on and on and on. Have we said one word about it's God's law? No. So therefore, it's not God conscious. Therefore, what has it got to do with Krishna consciousness? We're taking it, God is good, so anything good, therefore, is connected with God. Right? God is good, so therefore, connected to Him is devotional service. So if something else is good, it's automatically devotional service. We're making the mistake thinking organic's automatically devotional service. People are always organic. Right? All the demons, they all eat organic. Hiranyakashipu, he ate organic. Don't worry. Right? Ravana also. Right? There were, Ravana never ate an inorganic person because there weren't any. All the people he ate were organic. Right? You know, free range, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, this is the point is Bhagavatam kicks out the idea of anything that's not connected with the Lord. So your basis of something can't be just that it's good. Because that's the Yamadutas. They're good. But it's not enough. When they came and across the Vishnudutas, they didn't know what was going on. They were bewildered. Hey, I'm doing my thing, but what's going on here? What is this that's beyond? Yamaraj never talked about this. Why? Because they were only into piety. They were not into spirituality. So therefore, even though it might be discussed, they wouldn't catch it. Right? So sad-dharma means dharma that's used in connection with the Lord. Dharma means just dharma on its own. Right? Bhagavad Dharma comprises only that which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Dharma is sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. One must accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him, and whatever He says, that is Dharma. Right? Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight, but Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he's actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Right? So we get the thing is that we're starting like this example of the organic. We're starting with it because it's good for the health. That's why people get into it. It's not that people are starting with Krishna. It's his creation. Therefore, you're supposed to do things with how he says. Therefore, the cow dung, this, that, is how you're supposed to maintain the creation. We're not starting there. We're starting with our own personal health. You understand? So that's dharma. Okay, we like that. We see the nature. I want to be healthy. I eat healthy food. I'm healthy. Hey. But sarva dharma parityaja means you start with Krishna. It's not about the dharma that makes you healthy. It's about what pleases Krishna. And if you please Krishna and follow his law, you're healthy. Does that make sense? It's a very simple thing. Otherwise, we get distracted by all these things that seem really, really important and make our life about that. But actually, it's not important. You know, we were just coming in there, and there's a little rabbit sitting on the side of the road, and they're so tame that the car passed by maybe a foot away, and it didn't move. And it was a small rabbit. It wasn't a big, big rabbit. You know, but there's a good chance it's pretty much eating organic. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to put yourself on the level of that bunny rabbit, cute bunny rabbit, you know, like that, then go for it. Like that. Go for it. But if you want to go back to Godhead, then it has to be it's about Krishna. That's the whole thing. Otherwise, the Yamadutas, they were quite pious. Krishna says in the Gita 15:15, Vedaischa sarvaraham eva vedya. The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. So knowledge or truth has to be about knowing Krishna. Facts for gossip, that's not truth. That's not transparency. Because otherwise, if we're going to talk transparency, why do you need to know? Oh, I got to know what they did. You know, it's my right. Why is it your right? What do you got to do with their life? Oh, we're all part of the society, so does everybody get to know what you ate last night? What did you do in bed with your wife last night? Do we get to know? Hey, he's a senior member of our community. Do we get to know what he was doing? No. So what is it? It's not about truth, it's about gossip. In reality. So here, the real purpose of Veda knowledge is to know me, Krishna. You can use it for all these other things. You know, just like chainsaws. Generally, they're for cutting down trees or, you know, stuff. But you can take it out, you know, in Texas and have some fun. Right? And they'll make movies about it and stuff like that, you know. So it adds to the economy. But that's not actually what chainsaws are for. But it's not that you can't use it that way and not that some people don't appreciate it. So just because you have a lot of people that appreciate mundanity doesn't mean that it's knowledge. Does that make sense? One who knows perfectly Krishna is liberated. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vedi tattvata. Tyaktva deham punar janma naitimam eti surajana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. Right? So, why does he come here? Krishna comes to, one, establish religion, but that's just so that you have a favorable environment. The real reason is to associate with the devotees. Because that's what Krishna is all about. Krishna is about interacting with devotees. Otherwise, if it wasn't, why the need for creation? Right, as Atmarama, he already has everything within him. He is everything. So he expands just so that there is, how do you say? just so that there is opportunity for interaction. That expands the happiness. So that's the real reason you come. So it's about Krishna and the devotees. Right? So Krishna's happy. He wants to see the devotees healthy, so therefore that's why he's made it organic as the thing. But it's because of Krishna's relationship with the devotees that it becomes important. If it's just about my health and about this is the right thing and, you know, we should go out and march and show our, you know, solidarity here, then that's just all just political waste of time. Right? Because today everyone's jumping up and down about this. But if it's not making money after some years, then it'll all change. Why is organic big now? Because it makes money. Organic's been around since the 60s. I remember somebody had a house, they lived upstairs, downstairs, they turned into an organic, like little shop. You got everything in there, whatever the hippies were growing, and the cows, and this and that, and you get it. But, you know, who went there? A handful of people. And it was always like that. But then when they figured they could make money out of this, now you have whole supermarkets that are just organic. The same city that I'm talking about, now it's a small place, it's not a big city, and it has three supermarkets. One for, you know, like, you know, how you say, what do you say, like wholesale kind of level of organic, you know, food. And then they have something that's, you know, that means like your Tesco's, then you have like your Sainsbury level where it's a little bit more, and then you have your boutique. I mean, they have a whole boutique supermarket. Just high-end organics, you know, imported from all over the world. That's three in a dinky little place. You know? So, because it makes money. But otherwise, when it wasn't making money, just hippies were making it available for others, and therefore they got to, you know, buy enough to, you know, themselves eat and stuff like that. Hey, it was, nobody cared. Ah, crazy hippies. But now it's all the new, yeah. Does that make sense? So it's just the modes of nature. We have to be able to distinguish what's reality and what's mundane. That's how Bhagavatam opens. That's truth. One who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home back to Godhead. It may be concluded that Dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered in the Vedas, and Adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported in the Vedas. Right? So that's the whole point. What the Vedas support, that's Dharma. What the Vedas don't support, that's Adharma. Though nowadays we say, no, but why do I have to do that? Why am I restricted? And it's given a fair airing. But yeah, no, this is a valid opinion. You know, pure total mundanity, atheistic mundanity, is, you know, it's also a viable opinion. It is, yeah. If you want to, you follow by the order, you go back to Godhead. You don't, you're not a candidate. So it's a matter, you want to be a candidate for going back to Godhead, or do you want to be a candidate, or do you want to remain as a candidate to stay here? Because that one, we have already gotten sewed up. We've been here a while. Right? If any of you here are Brahma, you've just come down here to, you know, give some association, then we can consider, okay, maybe, you know, you haven't been involved. Does that make sense? But if you're actually in the human form of life, and, you know, there's a good chance you're, you know, on this side, means you're either on the way down or the way back up after something not so savory, then we are a natural candidate for being here. We've been here for since time immemorial. Now the question is, do you want to change? How do we change? By taking up knowing Krishna, following his law to please him. We're not even bringing out the option just following his law just because it's good materially. That's for the materialists, the pious materialists. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayana, as stated in the Vedas. Asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yad rigveda iti. The injunctions of Dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayana, the supreme living entity. Narayana exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore Dharma, the injunctions of Narayana, also exist eternally. It's not that he sits around and thinks, okay, well, what can we do here? It's just the nature. So in other words, his nature, his existence, Just his breathing is religion. Right? And therefore, Dharma, the injunctions of Narayana, also exist eternally. Srila Madhvacharya, the original Acharya for those who belong to the Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedanam paratamo vakta harir eva yato vipu ato vishvatmaka veda ityahur veda vadina. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. So what is the Veda? That is our principles, because it's come from Krishna. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu. Right? So this idea of that it's in the Veda, that's archaic, it's old, it doesn't apply now. It's still God's creation, it still applies. Right? This is an atheistic idea that it doesn't apply. Oh, it's old, so it doesn't apply. Oh, that's 50 years old when Prabhupada was here, or it's 100 years old when Prabhupada was a kid, or it's 500 years old when Mahaprabhu was here, or 5,000 years old, like that. You know, it's just, so therefore it doesn't apply. But it's God's creation. The laws of nature still apply today as much as they did before. They haven't changed. The influence is not different. Gravity is still the same as it was thousands of years ago. People still breathe. They still have to eat. Does that make sense? It doesn't change. We try to make it look like it changes because then we can get our own personal advantage. So all this changes is our consciousness. But the facts of what works doesn't change. That's the point. Right? Just like the teenager could sit down and do their homework, but they don't feel like it. So, but by doing their homework, will they get better grades? Yes. And if they don't do their homework, there's a good chance they won't get such good grades. But they don't feel like doing their homework, and none of their friends feel like doing their homework, and that's so archaic to do homework. So is it reality? Just because a bunch of kids say? So, without training, if kids grow up, are they any different than just bigger kids with bigger ego? A little more skill, they're the same. Their opinions are still the same. Right? Now this is fact. This is reality. This part's not tasty because this is not gossip. Right? But if I can bring up facts that can be used as gossip, now everyone wants to know. But this kind of truth basically is not what anybody wants to hear. And one who follows Vedic principles is a Vaishnava. So if you don't follow Vedic principles, technically, then what's the basis that you're a Vaishnava? Because Vaishnava means who worships Vishnu, who follows Vishnu. So if you don't follow Vishnu's instructions, how is one Vaishnava? It's simple. The Vaishnava is not a member of a manufactured community of this material world. Vaishnava is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Vedas chasavaraham eva vidyaha. So Vaishnava, a real knower. So now the question comes is, how do we know? Because so many facts are there. Because we have to be very careful. It's not as the Yamadutas that they made the mistake that it's about the rules. It's not technically about the rules. The rules are the expression of the attitude. Does that make sense? I want to please Krishna. How do I do that? Right? It's just like, let's say there's some person and I want to make them happy, but I don't know them. So what do? I go to someone who does know them and say, okay, what should I be doing? And now they tell us. Now if we follow that, it works. Now we think, oh, that's stupid. I'll do what I want to do. You won't actually please. You can't please. So, the idea is that the Vedas simply explain how Krishna is made happy. But it's not about the rule. It's about the attitude that you're following that rule to please Krishna. That's what pleases him. So that means it's not about the rule, but you still follow the rule. Because you have to use something to express yourself. Right? Some medium has to be used. So this is the application. We're applying the Vedas not because I've done the rule, that's what's right. No, I've followed the rules because that will please Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? Does that make sense? So that's why then there's always a weakness when we have these discussions between the those who are pro-Vedic and then those who are, you know, modernistic. Is that pro-Vedic may miss the point that it's about the rules. Simply if you follow the rules, that's what's Vedic. No, following the rules, just following the rules, yes, that's Vedic, that's pious, but that's not the real purpose. Following the rules to please Krishna, that's what you should do. So the form doesn't change, just the attitude. And with the others, they're talking about the liberal and just me and God and all that. Nice, it's a bit sentimental, though it's fun. They always claim to be the liberals, the intellectuals. But actually, they're the most sentimental. Right? So then you're talking about that they say, well, we'll follow this, we'll do what we like. But it's not about God, it's about themselves. So liberal means it's about myself. Following these rules means it's about someone else. Right? There's rules, I have to follow them. Someone else has established these laws. So I have to follow it. So it's not about myself, it's a matter of sacrifice. It's a higher position. The other one is, no, I do what I like. But if I say I do what I like, it sounds bad. No, everybody should be able to do what they like, right? That's how you do it. The politically correct, you know, viable method is don't talk about yourself because people will think that's weird. You talk about everybody else and then everybody's happy. Because it's not about everybody else. It's only about those who you feel should get the benefits. Does that make sense? But those who are following the Veda, they shouldn't get. You understand? Liberals are not liberal towards conservatives. So they're not actually liberal. Right? And you have to do it exactly the way, use exact words. Have you ever tried to talk with a liberal? You use the wrong word. Oh, you can't say that. You can't have a conversation. You can't have a conversation. You can't eat. You can't dress. You can't do anything. Conservative will say, think you're weird, but they won't say anything. They just sit there and be pleasant and polite. But they think you're the weirdest person they bumped into. But the liberal will tell you all these things. It's all about themselves and what they think. They don't really care what you think. Right? Does that make sense? That's the sad part. So that's what Krishna's talking about. Is means mode of ignorance means you take dharma and make it look like it's adharma. And you take adharma and try by nice speaking, try to make it look like it's dharma. That's the mode of ignorance. So if you've ever bumped into that, know what's going on. Right? Because if it's about knowing and being in the know, this is in the know. This is the reality. So we have to understand is the first principle is it's God's opinion. Right? It's how God does something. So he doesn't manufacture, it's just the way he is. So if we want to function on the transcendental platform, we have to function in that transcendental way. It's about him as a person, us as a person. While the modern is not personal, it's impersonal. It's all about, you know, oh, well, everybody should be happy. Everybody, you have to make it generic, because if you say it's about me, because personal means me. So therefore, I make it generic, but it's always impersonal. Does this make sense? Right. So starting with that, then if we appreciate the Vedic principles, then we can try to contemplate them and apply them in our life. Then we can get somewhere. But until we've accepted the principle that Krishna knows what he's talking about, the Shastra knows what they're talking about, the Acharyas know what they're talking about. Not that Prabhupada came from the spiritual world, so what does he actually know about the material world? And we're from here, you know, we've been here some time immemorial, so we know it really well. this kind of nonsense is absolutely useless. If you want to stay here, hey, you're doing the right thing. If you want to go back to Godhead, you have to accept. The Prabhupada, the Acharyas, the Shastra, Krishna know what they're talking about. They're from the spiritual world. So if you want to get there, this is the method. Right? We're only speaking strongly on this because it's become a popular thing that this modern atheistic mentality is bantered about so calmly and easily within the society as an actual valid opinion. But actually it's just straight up front atheism. Right? Not spiritual in the least. Not even philosophical in the least. One of the rules in niti, niti means politics, right? Because now is the age of political correctness. One of the rules in niti is if you're dealing with a person who has a sentiment towards religion, so religion is higher, because you have religion, then you have artha, then you have niti. So niti is right on the bottom. But according to political correctness, the rule, I'm talking about the Vedas, they tell how to do it. They say that if you're going to deal with the person who is religious-minded, quote religion to get your work done. Not that you believe in it. Like Duryodhana do it all the time. He'd talk about religion and the Pandavas and this and that. He didn't care. All he wanted to do was make sure that he was the king and they weren't. So just know, these are age-old techniques. It's always been going on. It's nothing new. So don't be distracted. Any questions or comments?